This afternoon's scripture is taken from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. This can be found on page 1041 in the Bibles in the pews. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded.
Good afternoon. It is a delight. We're glad that you're here. I want to say thank you to the groups who made the meal possible, as well as the cleanup and the setup. It was terrific. Glad that that always goes so well. Appreciate the elders for these early services. Is that something that you have found enjoyable as well? If you see an elder in the hallway, you might want to tell them, hey, these aren't that bad. You might want to say. Actually, it's something that we have looked at it too, and so it's great. Glad it works out for everybody. John chapter 13, first five verses. Title of our sermon this afternoon is Things Jesus Said and Why He Said Them. Before we get there, though, really what we're going to find in John chapter 13, if we were to read John 13 through 18, by the time you finish 17 and open the 18th chapter, you'll find Jesus in the garden being arrested. And so this is the night before that, when he talks to his apostles. In fact, he talks to them at length. He says a great many things to them because his hour has come. And what we find in these chapters is, I don't know if it's a tradition or a practice, but it's something that had been done nearly throughout the Bible. That is, those who were nearing the end of their lives, they would call either their family or the nation together, and they'd have a conversation with them before they departed. You can see this all the way back in Genesis. Jacob, on his deathbed, calls his sons. You remember Genesis chapter 49? He called his sons around him, and then he said, let me tell you what shall be in the latter end. And he began to talk to each one of his sons all the way through. Some he praised and blessed, and others, well, he didn't have such nice things to say about them. Reuben stands out as one. He went up to my bed, he says to his son Reuben. Unstable as water, I believe, is the description or part thereof. But then you go a little further in the scripture, and Moses does it. As Moses is near the end of his ministry, the Bible says he called all Israel together. And he did. And if you were to read Deuteronomy chapter 29, you will find where Moses, after calling the nation together, begins to talk to them. And usually, especially in the Old Testament, it's the case that they would rehearse what God had done for them, how good God had been to them, and then exhort them going forward, now you be faithful to God. Joshua did the same thing. Moses and Joshua actually say it. People know Joshua's passages better. As for me and my house, maybe it's that phrase. But Moses largely says the same thing in Deuteronomy. If you were to read verses 15 to 19, there Moses says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life and live. Moses says that. Well, Joshua does the same thing. As Joshua's ministry is coming to an end, he gathers the whole nation, and those great words down in verses 15 to 19 are said. If it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, Joshua does say, now you can serve the God that your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Samuel does the same thing. 1 Samuel chapter 12, Samuel calls the nation together. And like Joshua and Moses, he rehearses his life before them. And Samuel asks, whose sheep have I stolen? Whose ox have I taken? Or in what way have I offended you or done you wrong? He says, I'll make it up. We'll fix it. And then he recounts. This is what God has done. This is what God has done. This is how good God has been. David doesn't call the nation. he calls his son, who will reign as king after him. And among the things that David says to Solomon is, quit you like a man. Be a man. He says, be faithful to God. And effectively what he says, he'll be faithful to you. Solomon, be faithful. Our Lord in John chapter 13 has many things to say to his apostles. And it's highlighted, especially in the King James, by this phrase, these things. These things, he will say, I say unto you. And then he'll give a reason for saying. Well, as we mentioned in John chapter 18, our Lord's going to be arrested. So what we find in these conversations are some of the last words before his death he will say to his apostles, his disciples, before he leaves them. And maybe by extension, there are some things that we could take then that might apply to us as well. John chapter 15, Jesus says one of the things he says and why he says it. He says these things that their joy might be full. John chapter 15, verse 8 beginning, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye could keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And there's our phrase. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. But these things, at least here, I think is kind of a summary statement for what went before. He didn't start speaking in chapter 15. He started speaking back in chapter 13. What are some things he said leading up to that? Well, if you go back to chapter 13, that's where we began. It began by our Lord being at the feast of the Passover. His hour was come. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, the devil having now put into Judas's heart to betray him, the Lord then takes that opportunity to serve. If you were to look at John chapter 13, after that demonstration of service, among the thing the Lord says is this, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. The Lord has given them an example of service, and now he has exhorted them, serve one another. In chapter 14, verse number 1, he has said this, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, and my Father's house have many mansions, for now so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Philip said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Or Thomas said it, and we don't know the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He has said these things. Down in chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, he has said to them this, if ye shall ask anything in my Father's name, I will do it. Verse number 14. So it exhorts them to pray, and I will hear, and the Father will hear, and I will ask. If you ask in my name, I'll hear it. In John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, he says this, I will pray unto the Father. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. And he says this, I will not leave you, King James says, comfortless. The ASV says orphans. I will not leave you abandoned. I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you. In chapter 14 and verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. He says, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In chapter 15, as you open that chapter, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Abide in me, he exhorts. Now with that in mind, read again verse number 8 beginning. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That's right after the vine analogy. I'm the vine. My Father's the husbandman. You abide in me. You will bring forth much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things. We emphasize that if Jesus is talking, it's important. Well, imagine how important it would be if he is on the eve of being taken, arrested, and crucified and leaving them. That's why he would say, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going away. I'm going to be taken. But listen, I'm saying these things that your joy might be full. The apostles would certainly come to know what our Lord was talking about later. Secondly, among the things he says is love one another. John chapter 15, verse 14, he says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father's name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Jesus had demonstrated his love toward them. Jesus wanted them to love him. And now Jesus is exhorting them to love one another. There's a very good reason for that. Slide down to verse number 20 in chapter 15 and note what the Lord says. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Here is what was going to happen to the apostles. The Lord was going to go away, and they were going to eventually suffer. Who would they rely on? Jesus said, love one another. You're going to be in this thing together. You're going to be persecuted together. You're going to need to depend and to rely on each other. These things command I you. Love one another. When the church is hurting, when saints are hurting, they should find refuge. We should find refuge in each other. When people are hurting, the place that should comfort is the family of God. And if the outside is ever attacking, then those that are within should band together and be a great source of strength to each other. Jesus said, these things they will do unto you. And these things I'm telling you, I'm commanding you, love one another. It's not accidental, friends. When you open up the book of Acts and start reading, what our Lord says here becomes very real very quickly. And in Acts chapter 4 and 5, when the apostles are threatened, arrested, and beaten, when they're let go, do you know where they go? When at last they get away from those who beat them, they go to the church and they pray together. Jesus says, love one another. Why is he saying these things? Well, thirdly, he's saying these things so you're not offended. John chapter 16, verse 1 beginning. These things have I spoken unto you. Now, please appreciate, as we go through these chapters, picking out these statements, we're not reading the content between each statement. And so there is a lot of things the Lord has already said. And then he reaches a point almost again in summary where he says, these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. What is the Lord saying? I'm telling you this so you're not offended. What does that mean? To be offended. One of the sad things that happens to some of God's children is they fall away. The persecution was going to start. Acts chapter 4, it starts. The apostles are threatened. They are soon beaten, and it's shortly after that that Stephen is killed. From chapter 7, you move to persecution, and it spreads. What the Lord is saying is, I'm telling you these things so you're not offended. King James, other renderings say words like this, so you don't stumble, so you're not afraid, or so you don't lose faith. There will be those who give up the Christ, who give up the cause when persecution starts. And the Lord is saying, I'm telling you these things so you don't do that. That's why he would say the servant is not greater than his master. If they did it to me, they'll do it to you. And they had certainly did it to him. And they were about to do it in its fullness to him. Jesus said, I'm telling you these things so that you're not offended. He told them this, I'm going away. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, ye may remember. You may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. You know, it's interesting. Those people that we read, from Jacob to Moses to Joshua to David, they don't do that at the beginning of their lives. They don't do that with those people at the beginning. That's what Jesus is saying. I was here with you. There was no need to tell you these things. I was here, but I'm not going to always be here. I didn't tell you at the beginning, but now I go my way. I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. I suppose all you and I can do is imagine what it must have been like to have been there with the Lord, be one of his apostles all the way through his ministry, get to this point and hear him say, I've got to leave now. Sorrow hath filled your heart. That's why John chapter 14 says what it says. Let not your heart be troubled. I'll not leave you orphans. I'll send back the comforter. Sorrow has filled your heart because I have to go. And then Jesus adds this thought. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. That must have been a hard one to convince them of. How could it possibly be good? The apostles wouldn't have known what our Lord knows, and that is the work wasn't done. The mystery wasn't finished. The Lord is going to finish his part, but there was yet work to be done. That is, after he leaves, the Holy Spirit must come. And that's what he's saying. It's needful that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him. They needed the Holy Spirit to come, because the Holy Spirit needed to empower them and inspire them and reveal God's word and to begin and to equip the church. They needed the Holy Spirit. But he can't come if Jesus doesn't go. And so they're having this moment, and the Lord is saying, listen, I'm going away. This is why I'm saying it. John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says this, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. It's interesting in life, and I suppose it's true of every stage of life. It seems like just about the time you get comfortable in one stage of life, just when you figure out how it all works in this place, it's necessary to change. And every time somebody says, well, we got to move. You know, you got to do this now. Well, now you're married. And so, but I was just getting into myself. Yeah, but marriage requires something different. You got to move. You got to grow. You got to stretch. I was just getting. Yeah, but now you got children. You can't be that anymore. You got to be this now. And I was just learning that. Yeah, but now you're a senior citizen. So now this is. It just seems like no matter where you are in life, just about the time you figure it out, you got to move. You got to grow. And it seems like every time you put up a fight to stay. But it's almost true too of every individual. After you move and transition, you learn all over again to get comfortable anew. And when you look back, I'm glad we are here. I'm glad we grew. I'm glad we moved. I'm glad. Here is Jesus saying to the apostles, I got to go. But Lord, we've just really gotten this thing. We just figured it all out. We've just gotten you where. Yeah. But I'll send the Comforter. You know, when those apostles were empowered in Acts chapter 2, they stood up with a boldness and preached the gospel. And when you hear them preach in Acts chapter 2, men and brethren, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man of, when they began that sermon, and when you hear them in Acts chapter 3, we know that you did it by ignorance and your rulers, and you killed the Prince of Life, and God raised them. By the time you get to Acts chapter 4, if we be questioned by what power this man be made whole, be it known unto you that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Acts chapter 4:13, the Bible says, when they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They became and were because the Spirit came. It's necessary, Jesus said, that I go. Spirit might come. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll glorify me. He shall receive of mine. He won't speak of himself, and whatsoever things I tell him, he will say. Jesus goes on and on. We have our Lord talking to his apostles. We have these great statements. I encourage you to go back and read John chapter 13 over all the way to 17 and listen to what the Lord says. And the long and the short of it is this: he spake these things in the end that they might be prepared. Jesus wanted his followers to be prepared for what was to come. Friends, in a very real way, I think that's true of us today. God has given us his word. God has given the example of Christ. God has given the example of the faithful so that you and I would be prepared for whatever comes, no matter what it is, no matter how difficult the challenge. Be remiss if I didn't say we weren't all moved by what we heard announced this morning. In a very real way, I feel like God has prepared us for that kind of event and these kinds of circumstances. He has prepared us for so much more, for us to love one another, ultimately glorify him, and to appreciate that he went away so that he could come back and receive us to himself. These things, Jesus says, I write or I say unto you. And then he tells us why. If you're not a Christian this afternoon, you need to be. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to have Jesus for days like this. Because when life happens, and it will, the one hope that Christians have is that this world is not our home. And indeed, we are just passing through. Paul says he wrote that they would not sorrow, even as others who had no hope. There is hope in Christ. And friends, you need to be in Christ. Now, the Christian believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24, he is. Repent and turn to him. Give this world up. It's not that good. It's not that good. There's not that much in the world that's worth you having apart from Jesus Christ. Friends, it's just not that good. You'll run your course of it soon enough. You'll get sick of it at some point. I hope to the end that you appreciate it's temporary at best. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, that's all it has to offer. You need more. Your soul needs more. Believe in Jesus and repent. Turn to him. Give up sin. Confess his name and be immersed in water and let him save you. Friends, one day it'll be yours. One day it'll be mine. Best course of action is to be right with the Lord. If you are his child and you live in a way that's not pleasing unto him, we invite you to come home. Make things right with God. Let's all prepare one day to go to heaven. We can assist you in any way. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.